Good morning. Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. It is a Wednesday morning, and we've got a couple guests joining us here in studio. We'll introduce both of them. To my right, we have Lieutenant Colonel retired Art DeGroat. He's the Director of K-State Military and Veterans Affairs. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Pleasure to have you here. And joining him is also Mark Clausen, Executive Director of the USO Kansas Program and Center at Fort Riley. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Pleasure to have you both in here today. We're going to be talking a lot about the different activities these two men are involved with here locally. And we'll start here first with you, Art. What's new in K-State Military Affairs?
Well, there's a lot going on. We obviously didn't really slow down much during the pandemic activities to keep things going because the Army was rolling along and we had to also. And so we've got quite a few new initiatives, and we've picked up the pace on a lot of enduring programs. So things are moving along quite well.
All right. How about you, Mark? What do you got going on?
Like Art, we stayed busy through everything. The center was actually closed down for a couple months early on in the pandemic, but we were still out there providing services to the service members and their families in the way of snacks and drinks and stuff, especially to the people that were stuck in quarantine. So we really didn't miss anything. The Army didn't stop, you know, so we still were out there serving.
All right. And yeah, that's the thing with, you know, mental health initiatives. People always need it.
Yes, yes, yes. Serving the military population is it's a pretty bold and big responsibility for all those that do it in our community. And we have a lot of organizations, nonprofits, institutions, and just private people. There's a lot of people that are engaged in serving the military families and taking care of them in our community. And so the pandemic is not a reason to slow down. It's a reason to step it up. And so a lot of us that have been in the military and veterans affairs have really not had any kind of a break during the pandemic. It's been even more important to serve that community.
All right. Well, I know we're going to talk about a number of different avenues here, but we'll start with first, Art. A lot of folks have been concerned with enrollment at K-State. Can you share any insights about military-connected student enrollments?
Yes. The trend with military-affiliated student enrollment at K-State is kind of going the opposite direction of general enrollment. You know, all Kansas schools have seen a decrease in enrollment for many years, but our military population has actually grown exponentially over the last 10 or 12 years. We have the largest population of military-affiliated students in the state of Kansas by a significant margin above the others, and that's been a focused, intentional work for many years to make that happen. So it's been advantaged by the GI Bill. The current post 9/11 GI Bill is the most lucrative benefit that our current service members have. It's transferable to their family members. And so when I say military-affiliated students at K-State, we're talking about service members, their family members, and a lot of them, most of them are on the GI Bill. Previous GI Bills were not transferable to family members. Only the veteran themselves could use it. But today, you know, a service member can transfer that benefit to their children. And we're seeing a large population of military children and spouses using that at Kansas State.
All right. It certainly helps to have Fort Riley nearby to have that increased population. But going off to, you know, if there are spouses and stuff that want to take advantage of that, do you have like a percentage of how many of them are doing that?
Yeah, I think so. In 2006, when we started intentionally with the University Military and Veterans Affairs Office at K-State, we had about 300 military-affiliated students. Most of those were veterans on the GI Bill, about 90% of them, and connected to Fort Riley in some way or other. Today, we have almost 4,000 military-affiliated students, and I'd say about 40% of those are not military or veterans themselves. It's family members. So it's a large population that are using that. And we've discovered as a student, even though they themselves don't wear the uniform, growing up in a military family and they have many of the same needs for education and challenges that the service members have. So a military dependent family member is uniquely served or needs to be uniquely served in education as if they were an actual military member.
How involved are you in actively recruiting more folks to K-State from the military?
We really don't actively target that population. There's really not a targeted effort to bring that population to K-State. A lot of universities across the country, when the GI Bill came out, changed their model and they were aggressively seeking to recruit students. We did it kind of what I call the K-State way. We realized that K-State has been an inclusive environment for all sorts of students, first-generation students, international students, students of color. We've always been an appropriate place, an inclusive place for everyone. We just realized we needed to kind of tune up and be a little more intentional about serving the military. And then all of our outreach with Fort Riley and others, so we didn't really advertise to recruit military. We just became a better friend to the military people. And then we tweaked some of the internal things. We built a veteran center, which is now the Military Affiliated Student Center, and our student union. We've got a lot of new programs. We've got veteran student organizations, military affiliated student organizations. So we've just built up infrastructure and for them, and then they just realized it and started coming in larger numbers.
Mm, all right. Well, a lot of folks have been concerned about the health and well-being of our soldiers and our veterans, including the suicide problem. I know that October, I believe, is Mental Health Awareness Month. What does K-State do to help deal with this challenge?
I can only speak for the military side of that and at K-State, but I know there's a major effort at K-State with student well-being, and there's been new experts and leaders brought into the university, new programming, a lot of growth and investment in student well-being. But in our community, about 2 years ago or 3 years ago, the state of Kansas was only one of six states in the country that participated in what's called the Governor's Challenge. And it was an intentional year and a half statewide effort working with the VA and others to try to get more up-to-date protocols and policies and resources to treat military-connected suicide. And so the state of Kansas has a new action plan, a lot of new resources. And then just recently, the city of Manhattan was asked to participate in this and be the pilot, the first city to really do a citywide focus. And there's a group right now working on this to help and look holistically at all of our well-being programs for our military community in Manhattan and what are we doing and what can we be doing better to abate the things that lead to a service member or their family member taking their lives. So there's a lot of work being done and a lot of focus on this.
And I know that's been a passion of yours for a while. I mean, we've talked in the past and that this is something that's near and dear to your heart.
Yes, unfortunately, it's not a pleasant social problem to work with.
Right.
But after you lose someone you know, it becomes very personal. And after all the sacrifices that these great men and women make in uniform for all of us, for them to come home and struggle with their transition back to civilian life, and to find at some point come to the conclusion that their life is not worth living. You can't help but be personally motivated to do all you can to help these people. And a lot of it is not combat trauma that they can't deal with. It's readjusting back to civilian life. And so that is something you can do. That doesn't take a clinician to fix that part. Employment and having friends and being a part of the community activities and being a part of the community. It's a lot what Mark does. I mean, with the USO program, it's a proactive approach. They connect soldiers to other people, to the community, and every day, so that they realize when they get out, they've never lost a sense of being a part of the community, and that's the big part that we're trying to do is keep our military community here blended and part of all that is keeping all of us healthy in Manhattan.
And we're speaking with Art DeGroat and Mark Clausen here on In Focus News Radio KMAN. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. In Focus rolls along here on News Radio KMAN.